I don't want us to study the book of Acts. You know, I've told this story over the years about a guy who was walking to the airport and he saw a man reading something just really with intensity. So he stopped and he said, "What are you reading?" He said, "Well, I bought a new car and I'm reading the manual." And he said, "Wow, that's really amazing." He said, "Oh yeah, I've read every word three or four times." He said, "Really?" He said, "That's amazing." He said, "I've memorized most of it. I've committed some of it to song." And he said, "Well, how does it drive?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I've not driven it yet. How long have you owned it?" "Well, for several months, but I really enjoy the manual." And that's what Western Christians are like. We love the manual. We love reading the manual, but we're not really good about living the manual. Now, so what I want us to do in the study of the book of Acts, again, is that we're not just going to do a study. We're going to see this as a manual. We talked about that last week. A manual of post-resurrection Christianity. For every generation until Jesus comes back. I wrote this. I said it's an account of post-Christianity, normal Christianity. It's a two-volume series, Luke and Acts, on the beginning and growth of Christianity. It's a training manual for normal Christianity in every generation. It's the John 21:20. "As the Father sent me," Jesus said, "so send I you." And it's amazing when you read through the book of Acts, it looks a lot like the life of Christ. Because chapter 1, verse 1 says that the book of Luke was just the beginning of the things that Jesus did and taught. And so Christianity is not just about being taught. Westerners are good about that. But it's about teaching and doing. Doing and teaching. And I want us to see that in the book of Acts and in my own personal life and for our church particularly. But I want to see this happen for Selma, period. That we'll become those people who are doing the stuff. And it looks like Jesus. And it's not something that we've redefined so that we'll be comfortable with it. Then we explain away things by saying, "Well, that was first generation, that was the book of Acts." No, this is the manual for every Christian to live a normal Christian life, to model until Jesus comes again. That's kind of what we talked about last week. So hear that again, where my heart is, where our heart is to be, is this book uniquely, and following up on some of the things we've been talking about, even the things that we talked about Sunday, the ancient fire ministries, we're taking people out in the streets. It's all part of us being not just hearers, but doers of the word. And all the things about signs and wonders and the likeness of Christ and holiness, all stuff that I can't just hear about or get fascinated about, but God wants us to do this thing. And so it's going to be very challenging. I'm excited about that. I've reached the age where I don't want to just hear comfortable words. I want to be challenged. I want to be given the opportunity to repent. I'm not afraid for the Holy Spirit to convict me so that I can repent, so I can be more like Christ. I've settled in my heart. He loves me unconditionally. And He delights in His unending love for me. So I'm good with being honest with Him. Because I don't want anything to stop me from being Christ-like in all ways. Not just in how I live my life internally, but how my ministry functions externally. And we all have the same calling. That's what Romans chapter 8 says. We all have the same calling. We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And there's no place else like the book of Acts, because we don't just see things and we hear teachings, but you just see examples modeled again and again of what normal Christians are supposed to look like since the resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going after, and we're going to learn some things together. And there's just so many interesting things here. Think about some of the stories in the book of Acts. One of them is going to be in chapter 1 when they basically draw straws to see who's going to be the next apostle. That's different, right? Probably a lot more fun than having a board meeting. More sin happens in board meetings than almost anywhere else. All righty. Verse 1. "The first account I composed, Theophilus," which is the governor that Luke was writing this two-part series concerning the beginning and the growth of Christianity, what Christianity looks like. "The first account I've composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. And to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, this is really important, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. We said last week that Acts begins with the kingdom. In the very last chapter, it ends with Paul speaking about the kingdom to the people who had come into his house arrest place in Rome. Because that's, well, anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and not many days from now. And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying repeatedly, Lord, isn't it this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? Now he spent 40 days talking to them about the kingdom, concerning the kingdom. We mentioned this last week. But they're wanting to know, when is Israel going to be restored to its glory days, the things that David had promised? And so they still didn't fully get it, because there is the kingdom now, there's the kingdom to come. It's like both now and then. We live in that sort of flux reality. And that sounds like something from Back to the Future, flux reality. Some of you don't understand that. That's all right. But they're wanting to know that, and Jesus, that wasn't what he was talking about. He was talking about them advancing and proclaiming the kingdom now. Because again, what Jesus does and what he did was he rescued people out of the kingdom of darkness and brought them into his kingdom. And then he mobilized them and empowered them to go and advance the kingdom even more. And we'll see again some more of that in just a minute. He says, so when they had come together, they asked about the kingdom of Israel. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the spiritual seasons, epochs, the spiritual seasons, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. He said, but here's what's important. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And then it speaks of the ascension. So you pick up in chapter 24 of Luke, and it kind of bleeds together into this. Now, when it says in verse 2 that until the day when he was taken up, the ascension, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. Again, verse 3. And to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now it says that Jesus did two things, or three things actually, during that 40-day period before the 10 days where they were waiting till Pentecost. One, he was revealing himself to them a lot. He was giving them many convincing proofs that he really is risen from the dead. Secondly, he was giving them orders by the Holy Spirit. There were some orders he was giving them over that 40-day period of time. And then thirdly, he spent that 40 days speaking to them and teaching them about the kingdom of God. That's really significant because it says in Luke 24 that he, by the Spirit, opened their minds to receive the Scripture to learn. So Jesus was, of course, about discipling and teaching. And Jesus was particularly speaking to them about the kingdom. It's so important that we just don't hear some messages and have sort of a half understanding about the mandate God's given us and the message that God's given us. Because it really is about the kingdom. He spent 40 days post-resurrection teaching them things concerning the kingdom of God. And the reality is that most born-again Christians don't understand the gospel. They think the gospel is just that Jesus died on a cross for you. He was raised from the dead. If you put your faith in him, you'll be cleansed from your sins, and you'll be guaranteed a place for heaven forever. And even charismatics and the Holy Spirit will come in you and give you power to live the Christian life. Well, all of us have the same ministry. We may be in different places, it may look different, it may whatever, but we're all called to be proclaimers of the kingdom.